Last time on the Skip and Josh podcast.
Anyway, since we're talking about hockey and since we're talking about coaches, I have to say I'm kind of fed up with Claude Julien, but not for the reason that you think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think it's his fault that the team is losing, and I don't think that they should fire him and all that stuff. But
Right. After
every game, all he does is complain, and mostly about the officiating. And sometimes the officiating is bad, but sometimes the officiating is fine, and he still complains about the officiating. All he does is complain.
You're listening to the Skip and Josh podcast with Skip Sherman and Josh Obadia.
I'm Josh in Toronto.
And I'm Skip in Montreal.
In today's episode, some MLB news.
Bad officiating in the NBA.
And sweeping proclamations in the NFL.
But first, our weekly NHL update.
Okay, Skip, so I hope that you wrote something down in your pad trying to guess what I'm going to start with today. Did you write anything down?
I didn't. Do you want me to write it down right now?
Yeah, write it down now. Don't tell me.
I'll write it down. Okay.
Okay. So clearly the most important thing that happened this week is that Lionel Messi won his record 6th consecutive Ballon d'Or trophy. Actually, I'm not sure
That's
if
not
it was
6th
consecutive.
No, it's not consecutive. It's not consecutive because Ronaldo has been in there. They've been basically alternating, you know, years sometimes.
Right. But still, 6 of those is quite an accomplishment.
Sure. How am I supposed to pick? Well, how am I supposed to predict what you're going to start with now? 2 weeks in a row, you start with soccer.
3 weeks in a row, I start with soccer. So you should know by now. It should be obvious.
I should. I really should. I don't know. I'm losing it.
The National Hockey League.
You may recall that on our last episode, I was complaining about Claude Julien complaining, and sure enough, this week, he complained some more.
It was like on cue, Josh. You told me in the episode, you said, the Canadiens are on a losing streak, and after every game, Claude Julien is complaining about the refs. And then literally, the game that day, or the next day, you see Julien on TV and on the radio complaining about a call that was like a bad call that he says decided the game, but yet every analyst on every network is saying it was the right call and it should have been a penalty. So, like, I don't know if he's just trying to protect his players, if he's just trying to protect his job at this point. I'm not sure, but it was really quite comical that the first reaction after that, at that point, that loss, was that Julien's complaining to the refs.
I'm actually surprised, pleasantly surprised, actually, that the Canadiens didn't fire him because they lost 8 games in a row. And most general managers would have fired their coach after that, for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, look, they finally broke the losing streak. And then they lost the next game. And then they won last night. So, I mean, they are what they are.
But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Thanks, coach.
Which is like an average to possibly slightly better than average team. Like, that's the ceiling of them right now. You know, if Carey Price is like all world, maybe they're a decent team, a good team. Like, but they are what they are. But I mean, look at the standings today. They're second in their division, despite only winning 2 out of 9 games.
It's like you said, the team, they beat the Islanders, who are good, and then lose to a bad team the next day or whatever, 2 days later.
Look, there's a lot of parity in hockey. Like, you have to admit, right? Like, hockey's the one sport where, like, every game in the regular season, any team could beat any team, right?
It's a toss-up.
And you come out, you get a bad bounce, you just don't play well for a period, you don't focus for a period, a couple of guys on your team, key players, just have lousy games and you lose, right? And it works the other way. Like, some rando on another team all of a sudden catches fire and scores 2 goals and then you lose and they win, you know, you lose, right? So that's hockey, you know, that's the way it goes.
Now, I didn't see any of yesterday's game, but I saw the highlights and it was interesting. The Canadiens have been, their MO this year, I guess, has been where they like to give up goals in the last minute of a period. I don't know how many times
happened. That MO has been going on for a couple of years now. Like, that's the MO of the Julien administration.
So I don't know. I don't know how that happens or why it happens. It doesn't make any sense to me. But yesterday the roles were reversed. The Canadiens scored a goal in the last minute of the third.
Yeah, well, that was like, did you see the reaction on the bench? It was like they won the Stanley Cup.
It's a big deal for them.
Well, look, they got to get every point they can. After when you lose 8 in a row and, you know, like you've dropped so many points, you've got to get points whenever you can when it's a close game like that. So good for them. Good for them.
Now, they don't play again until Tuesday or something.
The NHL schedule is so screwed up. There's all these back-to-back games, and then now and then they're off for 4 or 5 days. And a lot of teams are like that. And if you looked at the standings, like I mentioned, the Canadians are in second in their conference in the Atlantic. Tampa Bay Lightning, who are out of a playoff spot right now, like they've played 4 games or 5 games less than some teams. Like, explain how that happens at this point in the season, where they played 26 games and the Habs have played 30, right? And some teams have played more than 30.
Well, don't forget what's coming up in January. Every team gets their bye week.
Oh yeah, that's gonna really. Tampa Bay really needs that, right? Because they've had such a rough schedule so far. Obviously, it's been so light for them. I mean, it's a blessing and a curse when you have the games in hand, right? Because you're like, oh, we have all these games in hand. We can win these games and get points. But normally, if you have that many games in hand, it means your schedule's also about to get condensed, right? So right. You've got some back-to-backs or 3 games and 5 nights coming up yourself, right? So.
Okay, so I wanted to ask you something last week and I forgot, so I'm not going to forget this time. You've been to 2 NHL games this season, if I'm not mistaken. Both of them involve the Philadelphia Flyers.
True, yeah, very true.
And so last week, apparently, during the intermissions, Youppi had some visitors at the Bell Center.
It was the most hack. Okay, so it's true. I've seen 2 games this year. I went to a Flyers game in Philadelphia. It was against the Islanders. And then I was lucky enough to go, like I mentioned on our show last week, I went to the Habs game last Saturday. It was an afternoon game. And I guess because it was an afternoon game, they made like this, it was called like the mascot Palooza. I don't know what they called it, but it was like.
That's a good enough
the
name.
UP had a party. It was the mascot party. So it was the most, literally the most hack thing I've ever seen. Like, the Canadians get really praised because they do such a good job on, like, look what they did the other night, right? With all the captains coming out. And they do such a good job of, like, bringing in their history and remembering all the big history of the team. And 100 years, now it's 110 years. And all the great players and Hall of Famers, right? But then they got this guy, Youppi, as the mascot, who I have no problem with. But, like, so they had this little event for the kids where they had the mascot party. So they had Youppi, which is great. And they had Gritty. Great. I mean, Gritty came from Philadelphia to, like, Montreal to be with Youppi for this party.
And I think that's the first time that Youppi and Gritty have ever been in the same room at the same time.
It's very possible.
See, yeah. I always wondered the first time I saw Gritty, the first thing I thought of was Youppi. I'm like, are they related? Because, you know, they're both orange.
Yeah. So then at the mascot party, other than Youppi and Gritty, you had like the San Jose Shark. Mm-hmm. And then you had the duck from the Anaheim Ducks. And then somehow randomly, you had Pat Patriot, the New England Patriots guy, the mascot. Like, what was he? I still don't know what he's doing there. The best that I could figure out is that someone in the Canadiens marketing team was like, we need as many mascots as we can. We've got Gritty's going to come. And in the vault somewhere, in the basement of the Bell Center in some old room, we've already got the Shark and the Ducks costume. So what other ones could we get? And then some guy's like, oh, yeah, my brother-in-law has a Pat Patriot mascot because he went on Halloween 2 years ago. Right? Let's bring him in. Right? Like, it made no sense at all. Like, nothing to do with Boston. Nothing to do with New England. Nothing to do with football. Just, I guess, like, Pat the Patriot and Youppi must, like, go way back. Right? They've got some kind of connection. You know?
When I saw it on television... So I saw it because I was watching that game and they showed a little bit of the intermission as they were going away to commercial. And at the same time, you were texting me, telling me what was going on. And I'm like, this is hilarious.
Yeah. He was in our section, Pat Patriot. He was in our section. He had the t-shirt gun. It was, the whole thing was wacky.
So more importantly, I want to know, when you were in Philadelphia, did you go to the Rage Room?
No, I didn't go to the Rage Room, but they show the Rage Room on the big scoreboard, and the scoreboard there is huge, by the way. They show the Rage Room, and right before the game starts, they show Gritty in the Rage Room smashing stuff. So it's pretty funny.
I thought for sure you would at least, you know, go take a picture or something or see if there was a lineup.
Yeah, I didn't know where it was, actually. I guess I should have went to try to find it. So back to just to get back onto like the on ice stuff instead of the mascots. I guess the mascots are just as important, really. Come on. Right? So I mentioned the Habs are somehow second in the Atlantic. How are things in like Leafland these days? Because the sad part of the Leafs position in the standings is that the Canadians have only won 2 out of their last 9 games, but somehow they're still ahead of Toronto.
Yeah, I didn't even know that till you just said it now. Really? Obviously the shine has worn off a little bit because the Leafs are like sort of back down to earth because they've started to play some good teams and they've started to lose a few games. Which really, I don't think anyone, I mean, I'm not surprised. You shouldn't be surprised. I don't really talk to my coworkers about the Leafs, to be honest. So I don't know what the mood is in town, to be honest. I know that I actually hear more about the Raptors than I do about the Leafs, you know, when I turn on the radio or when I turn on the television.
Well, because the Raptors are actually a good team, right?
Yeah, they are. Without Kawhi, somehow they are. I don't get it.
It's interesting for Toronto because they got crushed by the Flyers. They lost 6-1. It was embarrassing.
Yeah, except there's three of those goals were scored in the last minute of the game after they pulled their goal.
No, I know. Yeah. But like you saw like Austin Matthews on TV and he looked pissed and like they were just angry, which I guess is good because like at least they're showing some emotion. And then apparently Frederik Andersen demanded to the coach that he play the next game, you know, that he wanted in. He didn't want them to use the backup, which they don't really have a backup. And then they lost again to Colorado. So I guess that didn't really help, you know, but.
Well, Colorado is a good team.
It's tough times. Tough times in Toronto, honestly. Like they're around the same as the Habs in terms of the record and in terms of performance. But like the expectations, the difference is just the expectations. They were so high in Toronto, and it just must be so frustrating if you're a Leaf fan, you know, when you're sold this bill of goods, you know, you're sold the dream. They sell you on the dream. This is it. This is our year. You know, we've got all this. We signed new defensemen. We've got all the pieces in place, and then just doesn't work out.
Well, I mean, the reason the Canadians are ahead of the Leafs is because I think the Canadians have won every game they've played against the Leafs this year, right?
I don't know. Is that true?
Well, I think so. They've played each other twice and the Canadians have won both games, I think. So that explains why they're ahead.
I'd have to look back on. Yeah, I guess. I guess so. I mean, I have to look back on it and remember the schedule like perfectly, you know.
Well, if we're wrong, we'll correct ourselves next episode.
Oh, yes, they won in the shootout early on in the season and then they beat them 5-2 also October 26th. You're right, Josh. Good memory.
At least something still works in my head.
Some things, yeah. All right, so is that it for hockey? There's one other thing. I wanted to know if you saw this play where Joe Thornton knocked out Peter Mrazek.
I did see it, but like, what was the big deal? Mrazek fell down like he got shot, and he's wearing like all this equipment, a mask, all kinds of goalie equipment. How can you even hurt a goalie when you punch him?
The thing that I liked about the whole thing is all the reaction after. Because Mrazek swung his stick at Joe Thornton. Then he comes out of his net to go right up to him to confront him, right? Mrazek comes out of his net, goes in the corner to confront Joe Thornton. Joe Thornton just basically sticks out his arm, punches him in the face. And Mrazek barely making contact, I might add. And Mrazek falls down like he's shot and lies down on the ice for like 15 minutes. And then, of course, after the game, the coaches, you know, the coach of Carolina, Mrazek, they're like, oh, that was a cheap shot. Cheap shot? My ass. Come on. That's a joke, you know, like, honestly. So I just think it's funny. Like, goalies should just stay in their net, you know, honestly. Like, come on.
Agreed.
Just stay in your net. Like what is Peter Mrazek going to do against Joe Thornton? Joe Thornton's a freaking giant, you know?
The National Football League.
Okay, so I have to ask you this question, because I know you watched this game. How did the Philadelphia Eagles give up that touchdown to the Miami Dolphins, where the Dolphins had this crazy alignment? I mean, the Eagles should be embarrassed that they allowed them to score.
Well, it's not just that play, the whole game.
That play was a joke.
But when you see the replay of that play, and it's basically chaos on the field, right? They come out in this crazy formation. The Eagles are lined up. They probably don't know what the hell is going on. And, like, despite, like, you see, like, you're like, oh, how did they score? But, like, when you see the replay, the flip of the ball that the kicker threw to the other kicker, it was literally perfect. It's like he tosses it through the air. It's like floating in between other guys' fingers. It manages to find the 1 foot of space to go through all the traffic and lands in the other guy's hands. Like, you have to give credit to the other team because, like, wow, that was perfect. But, like, what I just wanted to tell you is I just mentioned, like, what's worse if you're a Leafs fan is because, you know, you've been sold this bill of goods that the team is good and you have all this hope that your team is good and you're supposed to be good. And then when it doesn't work out, you got to take the hard look at what your own eyes have told you. As an Eagles fan, this is just a disgusting season. You know, if your team sucks, I'm fine. If my team sucks, they suck, right? I'm the first person to tell you the Montreal Canadiens are not such a good team, right? But, like, what's disappointing about the Eagles is that, like, I told you they were going to be good. Other people told me they were going to be good. My eyes tell me that they should be good. I see the players on the team. I'm like, you know, I know they've had a lot of injuries, but they should be better than this. They should be a decent team. And when you lose to the Dolphins, you have to reexamine everything that you know. Like, I have to look inside my soul and say, what the hell? Like, okay, this team's not good, you know? Like, finally, when they lost to the Dolphins, the realization hit that, like, okay, we're not good. Let's look at next year now at this point.
They should have realized it, though, when they lost to the Falcons earlier in the year, because that team isn't good either. So they've lost to a few bad teams.
I know, but the difference... No, of course they did. And the difference is that was, like, early in the year. That was week two. Right. So when it's week two, you still have hope and you're like, OK, maybe they could fix things. And like, but, you know, we're in December now. Right. Like, and if you can't beat the Miami Dolphins in December when you need the win badly, like, obviously there's big issues with this team, you know, and the only saving grace for the Eagles is that the Cowboys are worse. The Cowboys are a worse deception than the Eagles because on paper, they're an even better team and they are underperforming even more. Right.
Yeah, well, it looks like no one wants to win that division, and somehow the third place Redskins are still not mathematically eliminated, which is shocking to me.
It's absurd. When I heard the Redskins were not mathematically eliminated yet, I was like, no, that's not right. That can't be right.
By the way, you recall that I said that I didn't think the Eagles were going to cover against the Dolphins. Well, they didn't. They didn't even win.
You were texting me during the game saying, I told you they weren't going to cover.
Now, I know you said that the flip there for that play, the toss of the football was perfect, but it shouldn't have even gotten to that because when you see that the guy in the quarterback position, it wasn't a quarterback, but whoever was standing in that spot is covered by only one offensive lineman, because that's all that was there, then the Eagles defense should have been able to get to that guy before he even tossed the ball.
Well, they basically went like man to man, it looked like, right? Because they had a center and they had the guy. Like they only had two. They had the guy like
who was getting the snap
and the guy receiving the ball. Right. So there's only two guys under center.
Right.
So the Eagles had two guys right there, right?
And one of those two guys should have been able to get to the quarterback.
You figure, right? You think. Especially, quarterback. He was not a quarterback.
Exactly.
He's a freaking kicker.
Exactly. Even more so, you should be able to get to him because he's a kicker. How hard could it be to get a kicker?
The Eagles should have called timeout. That's my feeling when I saw that formation. They should have called timeout right there and say, okay, like if they come back out in this same formation, this is what we're doing, right? Because the whole play relies on fooling you and chaos, right? But if you call timeout right there, well, they're not fooling you anymore, right? Mm. So anyways, we can go on and on about the Eagles. It's just, I've known already for 5 weeks that the whole season comes down to the game in a couple of weeks against the Cowboys. That's what it comes down to for both teams, right?
So
whoever wins that game wins the East either at 9-7 or 8-8 or maybe even at 7-9 for all we know. And get this, they get to host a playoff game.
Right. But whoever will host that game is losing anyway.
I know, but think about it. The 8-8 Eagles hosting the 13-3 49ers?
Right, that's why the Eagles and or Cowboys, whoever wins that division, is going to lose their wild card game.
Yeah. So other than watching the Eagles game last week, I did watch the 49ers. I had a split screen going, I told you. I had a split screen going on my DAZN app. So I had the 49ers Ravens on the other side. And that was a game. And actually, those teams are both really good, both great defenses, both. I'm starting to wonder, because you know how many times over the last 3 years I told you we're in the era, and it's not me that has to tell you, anybody with their own eyes can know this, we're in the era of throwing, right? We're in the era of passing. Like, half the quarterbacks in the league throw for 4,000 yards, whereas when we were young, if a guy threw for 4,000 yards, you were like, you couldn't believe it, right? I think we're back in the, I think it's starting to go the other way now. There's a lot of teams embracing the run game, right? So, like, the Ravens are strictly a running team, so are the 49ers.
But it's different, which is interesting, because now to watch, the quarterback is running, not the running back. The quarterback.
Yeah. Well, Lamar Jackson is on pace to break Michael Vick's record for rushing yards in a season. And actually, Lamar Jackson might get over 1,000 yards rushing this year, which is like, think about that, right?
Well, Lamar Jackson, of all rushers, he's like in the top 10 in the league in rushing. And I mean, all the other guys in the top 10 are all running backs.
Yeah, it's crazy that the guy's a freak of nature. You see him, how he runs, right? I mean, he's spectacular.
So what bugs me about the NFL...
Yeah, well, there's so much. Like I told you a million times, I don't even know why I watch sometimes. I wish I could go to NFL rehab and like force somehow like wean myself off of watching the NFL. I've wasted so much stupid time on Sunday afternoons watching football. I wish I could have those hours back.
So what bugs me is this. At least 4 different teams have done this year, where the team will say something like, whether it's week 2 or week 6 or week 8 or whatever, the team will come out and the Jaguars have done this, and the Redskins have done this, and I think the Bengals have done this, and probably other teams have done this. The team will come out, you know, like on a Wednesday, and they'll make this announcement, and they'll say, so-and-so is our starting quarterback for the rest of the season. And I've heard this a million times, and I never understood it, because if you want to start a guy next week, or even if you want to start him every week for the rest of the year, that's fine. Go ahead and do that. I don't care what you do. But why are you making this announcement? Because all you're doing now is you make this announcement, and then let's say a week later or 2 weeks later or a month later, you change your mind and you want to go to a different quarterback. Well, you just painted yourself into a corner, because a month ago you said this was your starting quarterback for the rest of the year, and now you're changing your mind, which you're allowed to do. But why do you have to make these bold, sweeping statements? Just start whoever you want to start this week, and then next week you'll decide who you want to start next week. I don't see why you have to make these announcements.
The coaches, actually, you're 100% right, Josh. I often wonder about this, because it's also like... Well, I mean, the same thing happens when coaches are doing bad and the GMs come out and say, he's our coach. This guy's our coach. They give him the so-called vote of confidence. And then, of course, you get fired right away a few weeks later. So the same thing happens with the quarterbacks, right? They do paint themselves into a corner. The coaches should just come out and say, this guy's our quarterback this week. And then, you know, he's giving us our best option to win. We're going with X. And then that's it. Don't even say anything. Don't even say anything. What's the point, right?
Right.
So silly. I want to ask you another thing about football before we get off of football.
Mm-hmm.
What's your feeling about the Patriots? because you know, it's been for we've been doing this podcast for 3 years, and I think for 3 years we've been waiting for the Patriots to sort of be bad, or maybe not be good anymore, or Brady to somehow not be good. But like, and it never happens. As soon as someone comes out and says the Patriots are on the decline, they come out and clobber someone. And then make you remember, by the way, we're still here. We're still the New England Patriots. We're still the best until further notice. But like, I wonder, every ounce of my being wants to say, this is it. They're done. But like, I have this thing in the back of my head. They could come out and they're playing Kansas City this week. You know, they could just come out and kill Kansas City. And Brady is going to be like, you see, I told ya.
So it's a good question. And I've been thinking about it for a while. Obviously, the Patriots lost their last game, and I think they only have 2 losses all season, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But of course they have had a very easy schedule up until recently.
They have.
So that's part of the reason why they have such a good record. And now all of a sudden they're playing good teams, and Kansas City's a good team. There's a million and one things that could happen this weekend. I don't think, even if the Patriots somehow win, I don't think they're going to blow away the Chiefs. I think it's going to be a close game if the Patriots win, because if it gets into some kind of shootout, the Patriots can't score a lot of points. So if right. it gets into a shootout, that's the advantage to the Chiefs. If it's a low scoring game, like, I don't know, 17-14 or something like that, that's the only way I could see the Patriots winning, because the Patriots do have a good defense. And I think it is a little too early to write off the Patriots, because, you know, they're always good after a loss, and they don't usually lose to the same team twice in the same season. So they have all these things going for them. And if they do get any home games during the playoffs, they're very tough to beat at home during in the playoffs. So it is a Absolutely. Little too soon to write them off. But this week, I think, is going to tell us a lot about the Patriots.
The amazing thing about the Patriots is that in our lives with the Patriots, the one thing other than you're like, oh, they've always had Brady and Belichick, right? They're like, you, people say that's the hallmark of the team, right? But the other thing that they've always had is they've always had a good kicker, right? They've always had a kicker where, like, that kicker comes out, doesn't matter how far the field goal is, you know he's going to make it, right? And, like, for the first time sort of ever, because and then it's, like, because Gostkowski's injured, like, their kicker stinks. Like, they're using this guy, Kai Forbath, who's terrible. So, like, you can't even rely on, like, winning the close games because your kicker might, who knows what he's going to miss. So, it's an interesting time for the Patriots. And, like, I know almost, like, all, there's so many NFL fans that just hate the Patriots and they're just waiting for them to lose. And, like, I know you're one of them and I'm sort of one of them. And, like, and I'm going to be watching that game against the Chiefs and, like, just kind of waiting to see, like, what's going to happen. Just, like, let's see what's going to happen. Is this really it? Like, I'd be surprised, you know? I really would be surprised. Like you said, they're 10-2. They're probably they're still going to be tough to beat in the playoffs, no matter who they play, right?
Well, I mean, listen, in that conference, it's the Patriots, it's the Ravens, it's the Chiefs,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And then is there
Houston?
And right, and the Texans. Those are the teams that that are in the hunt.
But like Houston and the Ravens just finished beating the Patriots, right? Like, so that's why people are all excited. But playoffs are a whole other story. Like another person. I forget who I was talking to that told me this. Might have been my boss. like when the Patriots play the Ravens the first time, right? I don't think Belichick is putting out his beat Lamar Jackson defense. I think Belichick's got a million plays up his sleeve on how to contain Lamar Jackson. And he's saying in a regular season game in October, I'm not going to show the Ravens everything that I've got. I'm not going to show them all my cards. I'm going to hold on to that. I'm going to hold on to these little special things I have designed to beat Lamar Jackson for when it really counts when we're playing them in January.
Right, so, except that I don't know that there are any special cards true. You could play to defend against Lamar Jackson.
That is true. They've got some kind of wacky offense. Like, when you really look at their offense, it's pretty amazing, right? They line up with three tight ends half the time, right? Running backs. And their offense is basically, like, he either throws it to the tight end, he runs himself, or he throws it, like, deep, right? Because most of the passes when he does throw are deep bombs, right? So they're fun to watch. They're fun to watch, which is the opposite of the Patriots, who are not fun to watch, actually.
Getting back to the Patriots, I'm actually very surprised that Rob Gronkowski has not come out of retirement. I'm actually surprised that it hasn't happened.
He's not allowed now. He's past the deadline, I read.
What do you mean?
There was a deadline last week or the week before. No, there was I'd have to look it up and show you, but there's some kind of rule with a date for a deadline of I don't know. I don't know the details of the rule, but all I know is there was a deadline for when he would need to come out of retirement, and that has passed. So the idea that Gronkowski could come and play now is gone. That's finished. He can't come play this year.
Well,
maybe next year, but not this year.
I'm surprised that he didn't come out of retirement. I'm really surprised that either they didn't call him or beg him or whatever, because they're in a lot of trouble. Their offense is in a lot of trouble.
they really are. They really are. He has no one to throw to. He has no one to throw to. The other thing that I read this week is that Brady was really in favor of keeping Antonio Brown and really did not want the Patriots to release him, because Brady knew, if I don't have this guy, I've got nobody, right? Don't forget, they didn't even have Mohamed Sanu at that point when they released him, right? So he's like, Brady looked at his offense as like, oh boy, if I don't have Antonio Brown, who the hell am I going to throw to, right? So that's another kind of rumor that's floating around.
Well, of course, I mean,
anyways,
Brady only cares about, you know, the talent on the field. He doesn't care about what these guys do off the field. So of course he's going to say he wants Antonio Brown.
The National Basketball Association.
I wanted to talk one thing about the NBA.
I have a few NBA things also on my list.
Really?
I'm sure it's the same thing.
The Houston Rockets.
One of them is about Houston.
Okay. So you saw that play this week, right?
The James Harden
dunk? James Harden dunks. Yeah,
it okay, dunks. Okay, before you even get through... into it, before you even get into it,
yeah.
we need to frame this properly. The NBA is a joke, period.
Okay.
Because, I mean, a blind person, there were two brutal calls in the NBA this week, two, that a blind person could have made the correct call on, and both of them were done incorrectly, and the NBA has done nothing about it and will do nothing about it. So the NBA is a joke.
What was the second one? What was the other one? There was the James Harden dunk that they didn't say didn't go through the net, and what was the other one?
The other one was you didn't see LeBron James this week?
Oh, the traveling.
The traveling.
But that doesn't shock me or surprise me. That's just stupidity. But you're right. It is a joke. It is a joke. Because he's basically walking up the court and the other team is like, what the hell's going on? And the refs are just like, oh, that's LeBron James, right?
And by the way, the Lakers scored on that possession.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'd love for them to call traveling every once in a while, especially in cases like that when it's so stupid, just to tell the players, by the way, we're still supposed to dribble, you know? If you want to walk, we can play another sport here, you know?
Exactly.
But the thing about the James Harden, I understand it was a terrible call, right? I get that. But the Houston Rockets are so stupid. I can't stand their organization. So now they have an official protest, and their solution is, we want to replay the game from that point on. The game should be replayed from the point of the blown call. Now, do you understand that the Rockets were winning by 13 points? With 8 minutes left to go when that call was made, and then they blew the game after. So because you sucked and because you couldn't hold a 13-point lead with 8 minutes left to go in the Spurs, don't blame it on one play. Like there's a lot of plays in the game where one call could decide 2 points. And I understand completely that this was an egregious, ridiculous, yes, you should have had the 2 points. But just move on, you know? Call it like it is. Tell the NBA it sucks. Try to do something in terms of talking to the NBA about this. Don't demand, don't play the game under protest and demand that the last 8 minutes of the game be replayed. That's just being a baby. That's what they are. They're big babies. Remember a few years ago when they had that report, that 100-page report that came out when they played game 7 against the Warriors and they broke down every decision made by the refs in the entire game? Like that just undermines the league, you know? Try to work together instead of working against the league.
But you have to put yourself in their shoes. If that happened to me or if that happened to my team, I'd be livid. And I'd probably say the same thing. I'm like, we got to replay this game from the point where that happened because that changed everything the rest of the way. I know they had a 13-point lead and I know you should be able to hold a 13-point lead, but there were 7.5 minutes left, which is, you know, not an insignificant amount of time. So it's not a guarantee that you're going to hold that lead. And That changed the outcome of the game. That play did change the outcome of the game.
So would you try to play under protest and actually demand that the rest of the game be replayed?
I would have put the game under protest, but I know full well that when you put the game under protest, nothing is going to come of it because you've seen this happen in every sport, in every league, where the manager or the coach puts the game under protest, and in the end, nothing comes of it. But I certainly would have put it under protest, yes, if I was the coach or the GM.
But I don't know if it's the same in the NBA, but I know how it works in baseball with putting a game under protest because I looked it up because of during the World Series with that tag play at first base. You can't put a game under protest because of a decision that the referee made, right? Like for example, safe or out, or foul or no foul. Now, obviously, we're treading in different waters with in the net or not, right? A shot that goes through the hoop or not. This is unprecedented. But the idea of playing under protest is supposed to be when the ref incorrectly applies a rule. The ref doesn't know a rule. The ref, there's some kind of... procedural thing that the ref has applied that's gone wrong, which is not what this is. This is still more or less, to me, it's the equivalent of safe or out at home plate, right? So, yeah, they made a bad decision, but I don't know. The whole thing, to me, it's just like the Rockets are just babies. Everybody hates them already, and then they've just reinforced that. I guess they want to have that siege mentality where it's like us against the rest of the league. Maybe that's their MO, you know, as an organization. Because everybody hates them already, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that's don't hate the Rockets. I don't really care one way or the other. But
Mike D'Antoni,
by the way, during the game, when it happened, he tried to challenge the play. I think he was told you can't challenge that kind of play. And then they kept arguing about it for a few minutes. And then the ref said, well, it's too late. If you want to challenge, you have to do it within 30 seconds and it's beyond 30 seconds. So if I'm Mike D'Antoni, yeah, I'm pissed.
That's the type of thing where you could protest because it's like maybe the ref didn't apply the rule about how he could review something, right? Carefully, because obviously he wanted to challenge it. He was arguing it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I guess maybe Mike D'Antoni's mistake is right away. I guess he figured, like, sanity will prevail. And if I talk to these refs, they're going to realize, by the way, that was in the net. That should have counted. And then, like, anyways, we can go on and on. It's pretty funny. But yeah, the NBA is a bit of a joke, I have to admit.
College basketball.
All right. So we didn't talk about the thing that I wrote down, which was Duke.
Okay. Well, they haven't lost a game since the last time I spoke to you.
I watched the second half against Michigan State. Sure enough, I did find a way to watch it. Like, I texted you.
No, you didn't. You never told me. You never told me. I was waiting to tell me how to watch it, and you never told me.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, I did find some kind of gray area link where I could watch that.
Okay.
So I'll send you a next time that happens, I found a good resource that will give you links for streaming for these. Yeah, they play great. They play great. Joey Baker played out of his mind.
Oh, Joey Baker
hitting
plays
shots
now.
That I could. Yeah, he played out of his mind. He hits so many key shots. Even the announcers, which, you know, it's always the same guys. It's your favorite. What's his name?
Jay and Dan.
Jay Billis. Yeah, Dan Shulman. Jay Billis. Like Billis was saying, like Joey Baker may have played his way into the rotation, right? Because he's ahead of. Well, he did say it. Like Joey Baker's ahead of Alex O'Connell now. O'Connell doesn't play very much,
mm-hmm.
and Baker's basically taking those minutes because he's producing. They have a solid team. Michigan State looked really out of whack, and they couldn't do anything. If their one guy, Cassius Winston, not to be confused with Cassius Stanley, if Winston is not hitting shots, which he wasn't because Trey Jones was all over him, then they don't really have much depth, Michigan State. They're not like they don't have a lot of scoring other than their point guard. So,
by the way, that game was part of the ACC Big Ten Challenge where all these ACC teams
Correct.
Play all these Big Ten teams. And the next day, I think there were three of those games, and I think the Big Ten won all three of them.
Right, yeah, I saw that.
Like Virginia lost, and North Carolina lost, and I don't know who the third team was that lost.
It should be an interesting season. I think the ACC season is going to be interesting. I don't think any team is great. I think it's really even. The ACC tournament's going to be great. The NCAA tournament, there's no clear number one in the country because, look, they've all lost, right? Everybody lost. So it should be a fun season in college basketball. I'm looking forward to, like, after Christmas and starting really after the Super Bowl is when NCAA basketball really starts to heat up, and then you start to see all the games on TV, right? So that's always a good time.
Major League Baseball.
Can I mention one baseball note? I don't know if you saw this story that came out in the middle of the week. I don't know who made the announcement, but that great idea of the Tampa Bay Rays playing half their games in Montreal is no longer an option. And right. I, for one, I'm shocked. Not. I think I told you the day it came out that there's no chance of this happening. So I don't know why they needed to come out and make this announcement, but I just found it very funny when they did.
It was the most half-cocked, half-baked idea in history. It would never really seemed like real almost. Like, I didn't get the point of it at the time. It didn't seem well thought out. It didn't seem to be, like, realistic at all. And, like, someone on the radio here that I respect, that it's one of these let's bring the Expos back people, which is great, was saying, like, if you're a Montreal baseball fan and you want the Expos back, you should have been actively rooting against this idea.
I was.
That was not That was not going to help get a team here. You know, that was never going to be a realistic way of getting a team here.
So. Well, remember when it first came out a few months ago and we talked about it and you asked me, what are the chances the Expos get a team back? I still said 5%.
Yeah, I think maybe. And then I remember, I think I went up to like 10 or 20.
I think you went up to 50.
I think you might be right, 50. I guess I was feeling optimistic that day. I mean, they still have a lot. They still need a lot of things to happen to get a team here, you know. But when you look back at where's the movement of bringing a baseball team back to Montreal, where it is today, let's look at where it is today as compared to where it was 5 years ago. There's been progress, right? So
there has been progress. It's been very
slow,
minimal, slow, incremental, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, I guess they're in a better place today than they were 5 years ago. But for all those people who are holding their breath to have the Rays split their games between Montreal and Tampa, you can now exhale.
Okay, let's do that. You can now exhale.
Yeah.
And that's the title of the episode right there.
Okay.
Before we sign off, remember, you can listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Skip and Josh podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, iHeartRadio, and of course, Spotify. If you listen to the show through Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review. We would love to hear from you via email, skipandjoshshow@gmail.com, via Twitter @skipandjosh, or by liking and following our Facebook page. As always, you can get all the links to everything I just talked about on our website, skipandjosh.com.
We leave you with this.
All right. You ready to end the show?
I am. You want me to go first?
Yeah, please.
So in a regular day, for work or for personal reasons, you probably get a ton of emails every day. I'm guessing you also get a ton of text messages every day. There's probably some people, like maybe your wife and your kids, who you text multiple times a day every day, right?
Correct. Yes.
And
all correct.
And if you look at your phone now, you've got, I don't know how many conversations going on your phone at the moment, text conversations.
A lot.
Right. And some people, you know, some people delete all their messages, you know, right when they come in. Some people just leave them there forever. Whatever. It's up to you what you do. So why am I mentioning this? It's impossible to guess how many messages, how many text messages I send and receive in a day. I've never counted it and I have no clue. But the reason I'm bringing this up is because this week, on Thursday, it was the first time in I don't know how many years that I did not send or receive any text messages at all. And I only noticed it on Friday, and when I noticed it, I was stunned.
Why do you think it was Thursday?
Because
like,
I know
what happened on Thursday. Was it no, but like, why? Like, is this something about Thursday that caused this? Like, were you just incommunicado? Were you focusing on work? Like, it's just kind of odd. No,
I mean, the reason I know it was Thursday is because when I looked at my phone on Friday.
No, I know that you know it's Thursday, but is there some kind of reason as to why this happened this Thursday? Like,
there,
this past Thursday?
No, there is no reason, because it's never happened in years. Like, as long as I've had a smartphone, I think I've received at least one text message every day since I've had a smartphone, which is probably about 10 years, maybe more. So the fact that I didn't get any, I mean, not getting any, you can't really control the text messages that you receive, so that's fine. But I could have easily sent somebody a message that day, but I didn't. And it wasn't a conscious thing. It wasn't intentional. I didn't even notice it till the next day. I just thought it was weird.
And then how many messages did you get on Friday or send on Friday? Like business as usual, right?
No, actually not that many. Only two or whatever, two different people.
Oh, wow. I'm going to probably text you now like every day. Like tomorrow I'm going to text you and it's just going to say Sunday.
Well, that's artificial. That's cheating.
That's cheating. I meant to ask you this the last couple weeks. Did you ever watch the El Camino movie?
I did, yes.
Thoughts on that? I know you love Breaking Bad. You really like Breaking Bad. And I thought the movie was okay. But...
Yeah, I mean, what I liked about the movie was, so it was 2 hours, but it didn't feel like 2 hours. It flew by. So there was no point during the movie where I was saying to myself, oh, when is this over? So that's obviously a good thing. Like, they keep you interested the entire time. I didn't realize, I thought, like, pretty much the entire movie takes place the day after the last episode of what you saw on television. So it's really just one day, except for the last, you know, 2 minutes, the last scene where, I'm not going to spoil it for anyone who hasn't watched, but other than the last 2 minutes of the movie, the rest of the movie takes place the day after. And I thought it was going to be more details about what happens a week after, a month after, a year after. I didn't realize it was going to be what it was.
I agree. And what was weird is that the actors have aged like 5 years, right? So, like...
But they made them look exactly the same, though.
The guy who kidnapped him. You know, the guy who had kidnapped him.
Yeah, okay. The blonde-haired guy.
Right? The blonde-haired guy. Like, he doesn't look the same. He's fat now, right? Like, but yet somehow it's like we're supposed to believe that it's the next day, right?
Right. So I was surprised that it was that. But it was, the way they did it was really good. You know, how they do the flashbacks and, like, they show you scenes that they didn't show you during the series. So it was pretty cool, actually. Listen, it wasn't like the best movie I've ever seen, but it was interesting to watch.
Yeah, like I think if you're obviously, it's only, I shouldn't say this, but like, if you're not a fan of Breaking Bad, you're not gonna like it. But like, only the fans of Breaking Bad are gonna watch this anyways.
Right.
So yeah, overall I thought it was good, but not great. Yeah, that's right.
I'm surprised they didn't show Walter's wife or son at all in that episode, in that movie.
No, not at all. It was like as if it didn't exist, right?
Yeah. So that was weird.
I did think that was, yeah. All right. That's another episode in the books. We'll talk to you know, pretty soon we're going to have to do our year-end episode.
Yes.
Best ofs.
Right. I'm already starting to think of my winners and losers. Well, just winners, really.
I've been taking notes all year, like, so that I don't have to think about it, like, you know, all in one shot, right? So.
As have I, yes.
Okay. Good talking to you. Talk to you next week.
Okay, bye.